It's so good to see you in the Lord's house today. Welcome. This is the place to be, the place where the Lord is. And that can be in houses of worship all over the world. But right here and right now, we're here, and God is here. We've had a great morning, a great Sunday school time, and we want to continue that on and put the focus on the Lord. Our children's choir and our multi-generational choir up here today will be not performing a concert, but leading in a worship service. So on Revelation song and the hymns that we sing, would you sing out strong? So we're looking forward to it. And so, Eddie, we're only doing one verse of the offertory hymn today. I meant to get with you a little earlier, so I'll just take care of that in front of everybody. So it is a privilege to get to direct this choir and have all the children to work with, and it's such a blessing. Thank you for entrusting them to me and our leaders, and this is such a blessing. Let's pray as we begin this time. Our Father, Lord, we come into your presence knowing that you are holy, and Lord, I look at my life and see, compared to you, how unholy I am. But I'm thankful that Jesus died to remove the sin, the guilt, the shame from me, that I don't have to stand before you, Lord, like an insect or something like that, but I can stand before you as a child, your child, and that you love me, and you love each person in this room, and I thank you for sending Jesus to pay a price that we couldn't pay. We thank you that he rose again and is alive forevermore. We thank you that we can have a relationship with you. Thank you for sending your Spirit, Lord. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our lives during this time of worship. Strengthen our Pastor Joel as he brings the word a little bit later. Bless the children and the teenagers and the adults as they sing and make music for your glory. For we do want to praise you above all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. want to welcome you this morning. So glad that you're here, part of our 10:30 traditional worship. I've already met some guests today from Nashville and got them a place down here on Lake Gunnersville. And so glad that all of you are here worshiping. Now, typically at our welcome time, we just kind of walk around and we hug necks and shake hands and welcome everybody. But today, as you can see, we got a lot going on. So welcome. Glad you're here. Enjoy this wonderful time of worship.
I am going in the Spirit, going.
So our preschool choir is under direction of Kathy Reeves. She's assisted by my wife, Tammy Patterson. So let's give them a big round of applause. And in my choir, the older choir, Karen Fancher is our accompanist, and I'm assisted by Miss Melanie Baker and Micah Gilmore, and I'm so appreciative to them. Also, Brittany Blocker organized a bunch of the parents to help out with our refreshments, and I'm so thankful for that, as well as our drivers, Brother Joel and Monica Martin. So it takes a lot of work and a lot of effort and a lot of parent support to make all this happen. Now, the cool thing about it is some of these children are very creative. And so as they're getting ready, getting on the bus, I think, Tammy, what is it you tell Joel when they get on your bus? She says, good luck. But one thing that they started doing along the way was they made up this song. And they would get in the fellowship hall, and you'll see how it goes in a minute. But it's like continuous, like the same thing over and over and over again. I said, we got to come up with an ending on that song. And so finally we did. But the first one I noticed doing it was Gray Sequin, and Gray and some of his buddies started doing this. So because of that, Gray, will you get us started on We're Going to Church? Had on a wristband at the Super Bowl that said Psalm 121. And so some of the guys noticed that, and some of them really liked them, and a lot of Eagles fans too, right, guys? And so I always liked the winner, right? So, but anyway, Patrick Mahomes had that on his wrist, and so we were able to talk about that even more as we learned this song. Now, our soloists, Dowd and Grace Ann, and Hemingway have been with me for many, many years. And this is their last year for children's choir as they're in the fifth grade. But they can keep going in our youth choir if they so choose to. And so we're just real blessed. They're going to get us started. I Lift My Eyes, arranged and written by Ellie Holcomb.
My hope comes from.
So now let's stand together for our offertory hymn. It's "To God Be the Glory," hymn number 56. We'll sing one stanza.
Father, we thank you for this another Lord's Day that you've given us. We thank you, Father, that we could come this morning to worship you in spirit and in truth without fear or reprisal. Now, Father, we pray that you would be with all of these children this morning. They've been such a blessing to us, and we just ask that you continue to bless them, and, Father, that you'll continue to use them as they grow in your service. And now as we come to this part of the service where we give back to you a portion of that you've so graciously and generously given to us, we ask that you bless the gift and the giver, and may it be used for your ongoing work here within this church and in this community. Amen.
Thank you.
So I'm going to suggest this week in staff meeting on Tuesday, I'm going to suggest, Ken, that we do this every week. Would that not be great every single week to have parents have their children here at 7:45 and then they get to leave at 11? I think we could pull that off. What a commitment, though. Seriously, what a commitment for these parents to And the choir, everybody. Ken has them here when he does the multi-generational and the children's choirs. Having everybody here at 7:45 in the morning. They are here for the whole early worship. Go to Sunday school. Come back. Lead in this worship service. So what a great... Y'all, we're going to end a series today. And what a perfect, powerful way to end this series that we started 7 weeks ago. So we're in Matthew chapter 28, the last passage of Scripture, 16 through 20, is known as the Great Commission. And so for 7 weeks, we have been walking through from chapter 26 of Matthew, 27 and 28, and we've been walking through the last week of Jesus' life here on earth. And so we made it to the resurrection last Sunday, and then the last passage of Scripture there for today. So we started this series 7 weeks ago, and we've walked with Jesus, and we started this series in chapter 26, where the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders, were plotting to kill Jesus. John Chrysostom said, the religious leaders, they were never afraid of the judgment of God. Big problem, okay? Not just with the religious leaders of the first century. Big problem with all of us. They were never afraid of the judgment of God. They were only afraid of the judgment of man. Jesus himself said, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body, because that's all they can do. All they can do is kill your body. Jesus then went on to say, instead, fear only God, who can destroy both your body and your soul in hell. And from there, we started our journey. Mary's anointing Jesus' body. Judas' betrayal. Remember, Judas betrayed Jesus because Jesus didn't turn out to be the Messiah that he wanted him to be. The Passover meal that turned into the new covenant, the Lord's Supper. Jesus' prediction of Peter's denial. The agony of the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus' arrest. Peter's denial, Judas' suicide, Jesus' sham trial, the crucifixion, the death, the burial. And then last Sunday, It all came to a head when we celebrated on Easter Sunday morning, we celebrated the glorious resurrection of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And so what we celebrated was the darkest night turned into the brightest day. The worst news in the history of the world, news alert, he's dead. The Messiah, the one that you call the Messiah, is in a tomb and he's dead. Turned into the greatest news in the history of the world. News alert, things have changed. He is now alive. So the greatest story ever told, and with that greatest story, then what I said this morning, I said, we're just going to kind of celebrate. And we're just going to walk out of I'm going to pray us out of the sanctuary. And we're just going to walk out of here with a song in our heart. And a pep in our step because we have celebrated for 7 weeks this incredible journey with Jesus that culminated in the glorious resurrection. And so we've had great music and we've read a great story and we've understood the great story where God himself reaches out his hand to his enemy, that's us sinners, and he pulls us and rescues us from our sin, death, and hell. So we're just going to kind of walk out of here with that great celebration in our heart. But there's one more story. There's one more passage of Scripture. Because of this greatest story that has ever been told, the resurrected Messiah gives us our marching orders. This is what we call the Great Commission, starting in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain just where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them still doubted. Jesus came and he told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. When I was in my seminary experience, I had a professor named R.C. Sproul, and R.C. Sproul had a synopsis, one of our classes, he had this synopsis of the Gospel of Matthew. And I remember after that class or during the break, I walked up to him and I said, Dr. Sproul, is there any way that I could have that? Do you have that written down in a book somewhere? And he said, no. He said, I've got it right here. And I said, is there any way that I can have a copy of that? And he said, no, just take this one. And he said, I know it from memory. I don't even know why I have it in my hand. He said, here, just take it. And I've had it ever since. And so he gives this incredible synopsis. Our Father said that he would bless all the nations of the earth through the Son of Abraham. And though he was faithful to the covenant he made with the nation of Israel, his people failed to be the light of the world. The bondage of sin kept them from leading the nations to the one true God. And so the Almighty would have to deal with transgression if all peoples were to be blessed. Therefore, the Father sent his Son to be the promised Son of Abraham to succeed where Israel failed and thereby save his people from sin. Satan tried to kill Jesus, but God preserved him, enabling him to show himself the true and faithful Israel. In becoming the true Israel and obeying the law perfectly, Jesus also took the place of Adam, refusing to give in to the devil's temptation and commencing his destruction of sin's power. Calling 12 disciples to himself, our Savior constituted the new people of God, explaining how Scripture shows their duty to be a light to the world. During his teaching ministry, he initiated the renewal of all creation by healing the sick and exorcising demons. But his greatest deed, listen to this, his greatest deed was to die for the sins of his people. Bearing the Father's wrath against transgression, Jesus destroyed the power of sin. Rising from the dead, he showed his victory over death and guaranteed that all in him will likewise be resurrected on that last day. And so, that is the greatest good news in the history of the world, and that greatest good news that we call the gospel is now ours to proclaim to the nations. So this passage is known as the Great Commission. And from this Great Commission, we get our marching orders as to who we are as the body of Christ. So by faith alone, in grace alone, through Christ alone and the power of the resurrection and the claim of the resurrection, we've been adopted into the family and to the body of Christ. So we're now family. And as family, we've been given a mission. And that mission is to proclaim the good news to the nations, to the world, to the dark, dying, sinful world that we live in. And so as the body of Christ, we do that in every way possible. We do that physically. We do that financially, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. In every way possible, we, the body of Christ, join together and we proclaim the good news of the gospel to a world that is lost and dying in their sin. We have good news to proclaim. I tried to figure out, all right, I need to illustrate this. How can I illustrate us carrying the gospel to a world that is desperate? Well, I thought, you know, as Southern Baptists, we have the perfect illustration right here in our own church. The three missions offerings that we collect during the year, every single year in September, we'll spend four or five Sundays and we'll have a $10,000 goal. And our goal will be to collect $10,000, at least $10,000. And then that money, all 100% of that money goes to missions in the state of Alabama. It's named after Kathleen Mallory and Martha Myers, two great women missionaries from the state of Alabama. So the Myers-Mallory goal then is to carry the gospel. All $10,000 or more dollars goes to missionaries all over the state of Alabama, from Florence all the way to Orange Beach, from the big cities to the small cities, and everywhere in between, all over the state of Alabama. We say we're carrying the gospel to the state. During Easter, this is our season of Easter, and we've spent the last four Sundays celebrating the Annie Armstrong North American Mission offering, North American Mission Board in Virginia. And so with our North American Mission offering, it's named after a lady named Annie Armstrong. Annie Armstrong, I think, was born in 1850 in Baltimore, Maryland, and became a tireless worker for missions, one of the founding members of the WMU. So that offering then is usually around $28,000, and that offering is for North American missions, and all 100% of that money goes to North American missionaries from Canada to Panama and everywhere in between. We watched a film, a video a couple of weeks ago about one of our North American missionaries in Wyoming. And this North American missionary travels all over the state of Wyoming, and he travels to all of these little bitty towns, 200 here, 250 here, 300 here. They have no evangelical work in those towns. They have no church. They don't hear the gospel. And so we have a missionary that we support, and he travels all over the state of Wyoming and all of those desolate places, 100 miles between these towns where there's nothing. And he goes to these towns and he plants churches so that they can hear the good news of the gospel. So all over North America, Alabama, North America, we're carrying the gospel to our world. During the season of Advent, the four Sundays of Advent, we have what we call the Lottie Moon International Missions Offering. And I said this morning in early worship, I don't even have time to explain. If you don't know who Lottie Moon is, then it's one of the great, get Rosalie's book. It's one of the greatest stories ever. Not one of the great mission stories. Not one of the great stories that would be considered in religion. It's one of the greatest stories ever. This woman and what she did and the sacrifices that she made to carry the gospel to a dark world without the good news and the light of the gospel. I encourage you to read that story of Lottie Moon. So our Lottie Moon International Missions Offering is named after this great missionary named Lottie Moon. And so our goal usually is around $58,000. And all, every dime goes to Romania and Spain and Australia and the Philippines and all over the world, Europe, Asia, all over the world. So Alabama, North America, and then internationally all over the world, we are a part of the body of Christ that that is carrying the gospel to our world. Why? Because Jesus says, go. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. One of my favorite works comes from a preacher in Minnesota named John Piper. And John Piper explains what all authority means. Now, my wife always tells me, when you read something from your sermon, you've got to learn how to slow down, Joel. You got to slow it down because you just get so excited and you just get carried away. And she's right. The ADD kicks in and I get real jumpy and I get real fast on it. But this one has to be read fast. John Piper's explanation of all authority. He has all authority over Satan and all demons, over all angels, good and evil, over the natural universe, natural objects and laws and forces, stars, galaxies, planets, meteorites, authority over all weather systems, winds, rains, lightning, thunder, hurricanes, tornadoes, monsoons, typhoons, cyclones, authority over all effects, their effects, tidal waves, floods, fires, authority over all molecular and atomic reality, atoms, electrons, protons, neutrons, undiscovered subatomic particles, quantum physics, genetic structures, DNA, chromosomes, authority over all plants and animals, great and small, whales and redwoods, giant squid and giant oaks, all fish, all wild beasts, all invisible animals and plants, bacteria, viruses, parasites, germs, authority over all the parts and functions of the human body, every beat of the heart, every breath of the diaphragm, and every electrical jump across the million synapses in our brains, authority over all nations and governments, Congress and legislators, presidents, kings, premiers, courts, authority over all armies and weapons and bombs and terrorists, authority over all industry and business and finance and currency, over authority over all entertainment and amusement and leisure and media, over all education and research and science and discovery, authority over all crime and violence, authority over all families and neighborhoods, and over the church, and over every soul and every moment of every life that has ever been lived or ever will be lived. Take a breath, Joel. That is to say, Jesus has all authority. I don't care what you watch on the news. Jesus has all authority. Therefore, church, body of Christ, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. That is to say, we are a missionary discipleship faith. We baptize and we teach, and then we baptize more, and then we teach, and then we baptize more, and then we teach. We baptize in the lake, we baptize in swimming pools, we baptize in our baptistry, we baptize anywhere and everywhere, and then we teach these new disciples what it means to follow Jesus. Be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That is to say, church, we win. Chapters 26, 27, and 28 of the Gospel of Matthew that we've spent the last 7 weeks pouring through and that we have studied assures us that we win. Now, you've got to understand what I just said because I don't think that you heard it right. What I said was because of this story that we read in Matthew 26, 27, and 28, that finished up today, that great, incredible story about God reaching out His hand in the gospel, reached out His hand to His enemy, that incredible story tells us that we win. I did not say that one day we will win. I did not say that if we'll just keep up the good work. Y'all keep working. Let's just keep on. One day, all of our hard work will finally reach the top of the mountain one day. This is not an encouraging sermon. This is not one of those sermons where I'm trying to inspire you to keep going. Let's keep doing this because one day we will win. No, you didn't understand what I just said. We win. We've already won, church. We have already won. And there is nothing that the devil or evil can do to stop it? Nothing. Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, all right, what's the scuttlebutt? All right, out on the street, you hear what people are saying. Who do they say that I am? And they say, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're Elijah, one of the prophets. Well, who do you guys say that I am? And Simon answered, he said, well, you're the Christ. That is, you are the Messiah. And Jesus said, Simon, you are right. You are correct. And upon that rock solid foundational statement that I am the Christ, the Messiah, I will build this thing called the body of Christ all over the world, and the gates of hell, the power of hell, will never, ever, ever be able to destroy it. That is to say, church, we win. Communism, socialism, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, dictators, movements, liberals, that's right, I said it, liberals, nothing will stop the body of Christ. Absolutely nothing. Why? Because I will be with you to the very end of the age. Jesus is the resurrected Savior. By faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone, we are His children. And all authority has been given to our Savior and Lord Jesus. So go. Go to the Philippines. Go to Myanmar. Go to Slapout, Alabama. Y'all know where Slapout, Alabama is? I had two in the early worship that raised their hand. Three. One of them's running the sound for us right now. There's three of us that have been to Slapout, Alabama. Big cities, small little places, all over our world, go and make disciples. And I will never, ever, 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 ever let you down. Ever. Man, we win, church. We win. Father, thank you for that powerful word today as we end this series that started with the Sanhedrin thinking, we've got him. We're going to kill him. And this will finally end. Now, 2,000 years later, 2,000 years later, not only did it not end, the body of Christ is celebrating all over the entire world. There's nothing that the devil or evil can do to stop it. When Jesus was gloriously resurrected from that tomb, from that grave, we win. And we win for all eternity, Lord. Thank you for that powerful word in our hearts today. If there's anybody that's here today, Father, that's never trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, our prayer is that they would know Jesus today. For those of us who know you as Savior and Lord, we walk out of here just like we said earlier with a song in our heart, confirmation in our lives that Jesus is indeed the resurrected Savior. And He tells us now, go and make disciples. Thank you, Father, for that gift that you've given to us in Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. If you've never trusted Christ, then we encourage you to come today and make that decision to follow Jesus. If you need to come and pray, join our church. Whatever the Lord leads you to do as we stand, as we sing. All right, real quickly before we head out of here, let's make sure we know a few things that we got going on. Our spots, building fund, you see our totals there, what we've collected to date. Our total is right at $500,000, and that is for parking lot, and it is for some renovations in our fellowship hall. The perfect thing happened this morning. After our early worship and then our Sunday school, one of our teenagers got stuck in the grass parking lot out there, and they had to get straps and pull him out of our parking lot because of the rain. And they said, we're going to send you that picture. That's going to be the perfect thing. We need to pave that parking lot, y'all. We've got teenagers getting stuck out there. So if you haven't given to spots, make sure that you do as we think about our parking lot out there and our renovations to our fellowship hall. All right. Low Country Bowl coming up with mature adults, May the 13th. Tinley Stewart, one of our own, going to be talking about resources for home care. Sign up on the old Lord's Supper table, all right? Vacation Bible School coming up, if you'd like to help with that. See Micah, sign up, is out in front of the library, all right? May the 4th, which is next Sunday, we're recognizing our seniors. Senior parents, get your pictures of your child to Ken so that he can go ahead and put that in. But we will be recognizing our seniors next Sunday in this worship service, all right? Today, right now, in 3 minutes, in the fellowship hall, a bridal tea for my next daughter-in-law, Mary Glenn Draper, and her groom, my youngest son, Carson, they're up there. And so a bridal tea it starts here in just a few moments. So ladies, if you'd like to go and be a part of that. All right, let's all stand and close by singing the doxology.
Praise God from all the saints.